Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Ian Stone with me this evening. How are you, Ian?
Great, mate. I'm very, very good. This made my evening. What's just happened? Very happy. Seriously.
Oh, this is great. Seriously. I'm delighted. Damien Harris is here, the midfield general in the house.
Ike. Do they still say that?
I don't know. Has anyone ever said that?
No one of your age has ever said
not
that.
Not for 10 years, at least.
30 years, I'd have thought. Before, since anyone said in the house. And even then, it was at a wedding.
I'm just thinking of Alexander rolling his eyes at this point.
Rolling his eyes. Slashing his wrists, more like. It is 10:30 on Tuesday evening, listener, as we record this. Arsenal have just... after the cup defeat at the weekend, I sent a WhatsApp message to a group saying, we'll smash him on Tuesday. And that was perhaps had an optimistic tone, but I firmly believe that we would smash them on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we have... smashed them on Tuesday. We have smashed them to pieces, to tiny smithereens. Arsenal have won 3-1 away at Southampton, and it was pretty good. I thought
it was really good. Yeah,
I didn't think we were going to lose from the first. Even when they scored, I thought, because we were playing with a lot of tempo, weren't we? We were moving the ball about quickly, and I thought, yeah, they look up for it. I mean, Lacazette should have scored before, shouldn't he? Before they scored.
But when, having said all that, when Lacazette went in on goal in the first minute, did you think even for a second that he was going to score? Or did you feel certain that he was going to hit the goalie with that?
Yeah, the goalie came out quick, didn't he?
The goalie came out and laid down in front of him. Oh. As if to say, you can either score or fillet me.
Yeah.
And he put him in two minds.
I think you're reading a lot into it.
Him.
To be honest.
Because we all get confused when offered that, that conundrum. Yeah.
Blimey.
Who was the player that shouted?
Andrew Robertson.
Robertson. You could see him. So who was through on goal and he was shouting at him?
Greenwood.
Yeah, trying to put him off. Maybe that's what he was saying.
Maybe he was.
Yeah, you can score or you can fillet me. He was shouting.
I don't know. Greenwood could definitely do a lot better.
Okay.
But I didn't think he would score there anyway, and he missed it. And then they scored an absolute wonder goal direct from a corner and on a kind of half volley. They really caught that, didn't they, Armstrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, no, here we go. But after that, we took control and started creating chances. And, I mean, let's put it this way. Even Pepe played well.
He did, didn't he?
He did play well.
He redeemed himself because he was slightly asleep at that corner, wasn't he?
But slightly asleep. I think
he was
asleep. That's just asleep.
It was responsible for the first goal we conceded.
Yeah.
He started the game, you know, they say you always start with a point. And what we always say about Pepe is he always starts with 1 out of 10.
Yep.
And he went down to 0.5 out of 10 there for a moment after he was responsible for that goal. I mean, he was the nearest person to sort of comically lazy, daydreamy reaction to the guy's marking, lashing it in the top corner.
If you had to pick anyone to mark someone, Pepe would be the last person you would pick, right? Out of that, you'd probably pick Willian to mark someone over Pepe.
He's got to stand
you?
Somewhere.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying...
You'd give him the job of picking up the bloke who never scores 25 yards out.
I would put him in front of the corner taker, see if he can get his head on it. That's the best place for him, yeah. I think. And if it goes over his head, well, it was going to anyway, wasn't it?
Or just stand on the halfway line. That's the other option.
I like him on the left, by the way. I must say I like Pepe on the left more than I like him on the right.
Okay.
Because on the right, when he cuts in... it's the most... Well, there is that, yeah. Yeah, he is shit. It is the most predictable thing I've ever seen in football. You absolutely know he's going to do it.
He has a couple of times come in off the right, hasn't he, and lamped it in a kind of swervy way into the top corner.
Yeah, Brighton, but he did that, yeah.
A couple of times in a year and a half is not really enough.
No. Considering that is always his thing, isn't it?
But it was very noticeable. We left out in the... I don't know how you felt at the weekend when you saw the Southampton team pretty much full strength.
Full strength team.
And the Arsenal team missing Kieran Tierney, Aubameyang, Bukayo Saka, Smith Rose, now, you know, the first name of the team sheet, Lacazette on the bench. You thought all the guys were playing well.
Mm.
Not necessarily the best players, just the ones who are all playing really, really well at the moment, whose form has driven us on this run in the Premier League, all rested. And that seemed to me asking for it, really. It seemed, you know, as the holders of the Cup and the proud record of the recent seasons, etc., it thought, really, we're going to put out a... It's a noticeably weakened team. You're picking all the players who lack confidence or aren't playing well and put us on the back foot. We managed two shots on target in the entire game, even when we started bringing on the cavalry late on and Saka came on and Laka came on. I thought that was a bit of... It was, as everyone remarked, a pretty feeble way to go out the cup. It was a bit of an unlucky goal. I don't know, Gabriel put his foot in like that. Either go and clear it or don't. Just don't.
He didn't look right, did he? He looked still a bit COVID-y.
He looked a bit jittery, didn't he? Certainly,
COVID-y? Yeah. I don't... You know what? I've heard plenty of people say that. I just don't see how you could possibly say that. You know? I mean, I know he's had COVID. Yeah. I know he's had COVID, but if he had a touch of COVID, he wouldn't have been playing, would he?
Well, the thing about COVID, it's such a mysterious virus. There are many, many symptoms. And one of them is scoring an own goal.
Yeah. Willian has had it all season then, hasn't he? COVID. For
not being able
sake.
To smell a deflection.
Danger, yeah. Yes.
Were you annoyed about that cup selection?
I could see why he did it. Well, I mean, what would you...
Could you, though? Because I feel like we're mid-table. We've got Benfica coming up in a couple of weeks. It's not like we've got a Champions League quarter-final coming up or anything like that. We're mid-table. We're not going top four. The Southampton manager's saying, well, I thought, well, we're not in danger of relegation. We're pretty good in the league. Let's go for the cup. And that's where we are. We're playing them again on the Tuesday. They're going full strength. So it's paid off in the sense that we have won our game tonight and won it really, really well. But I do also think we could have won on 3-1 at the weekend. And, you know.
But the thing is, we have to do something, well, unless we just give them back. But Pepe and Willian, we do have to play them out of this, you know, play them out of this malaise they're in.
I don't buy this at all. Why can't we play Ainsley Maitland-Niles out of whatever? You know, why can't we play? Why is he on the bench again? And Pepe gets another gig, and I don't really get... Willock gets 5 minutes here and there. There's people on the bench. Mm. If you're going to play a weakened team in the cup, keep... You know, I felt we'd have got just as much, if not more, out of those two players. Especially, you know, I'm a big lover of the Conservative. But
it's just too many. Seven is too many for the FA Cup against a full-strength Southampton team. We might have got away with it if we had the draw that Tottenham had got, but not playing against Southampton. They're a decent team, and they played their full-strength team. Our reserves are not all good enough. You play Willian, but you maybe keep Lacazette in the team. You know, you play Pepe, but you keep Saka or whatever. Just seven is too many. And that's why we lost.
I felt sorry for Eddie Nketiah because he must have been watching Smith Rowe and Saka play and thinking, oh, I'd love to be out there. And then when he does get out there, it's back to the team that was losing four games at home in a row for the first time since 1959 and all the rest of it. And why is Arteta saying these players deserve to play? They've done it in other matches. They haven't, mate. That's why they're the second string now.
Maybe he was surprised just how bad Willian was. I mean, he was shocking, wasn't he?
Yes, it's the Willian conundrum it's occupying a lot of column inches, isn't it? And when we were initially started very, very well in his first game against Fulham, and people were saying, well yeah, that's all very well, but you know, it's a 3-year deal. It's crazy. Well, now no one said anything about it being a 3-year deal for ages, haven't they? Now it looks like you were foolish to sign him for 3 weeks. And I can't understand how he's gone downhill so much. He made a decent fist of coming on as a sub tonight. He's absolutely desperate for something to go right for him.
Yeah.
He looks miserable, doesn't he?
Very, very miserable.
He looks so unhappy.
He looks like he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be playing. He wants to be on a beach in Brazil playing with barefoot. He doesn't want to be playing in Southampton. Who did all the running and all the hard work and all scored? I mean, I suppose in the last 4 years, he's just been watching Eden Hazard just rip it up, hasn't he? And not really having to be the main influencer in the team at number 10. Go on, you run the side. What, me? No, I'm peripheral. I'm very peripheral.
I'm just good at free kicks.
I'm good for free kicks. That's what I do.
Yeah, taking on people when you're 3-0 up. Yeah.
I just give it to Hazard. That's all I do. Where's Hazard playing? Real Madrid. Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's not worked out, that one, has it? I mean, we offloaded Mesut Ozil and we signed Willian. But, you know, there's still time, isn't there? Still time for him to get some confidence. I don't know how, particularly. He's not going to get in the team much, is he? Because if Odegaard's turning up, he's not going to get in much.
Odegaard, where are you sending me, Arsenal? Oh, shit.
So where's he from, Martin Odegaard? Where's he from? Is he Norwegian?
Nordica.
Because it was very difficult to tell from the accent.
But he has played at.
He's got a sweet left peg.
Has he?
He's got a sweet left peg. Close control. He's all about the flicks, the twists, the turns.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very, very un-Scandinavian in his approach.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that kind of. That sort of grim-faced pragmatism that they're going for. Yeah. You know, when you get a Scandinavian in your team, oh, imagine their kit. Imagine their little. Imagine the little wash bag with some sort of whittled wooden shaver that they made themselves.
Some sort of Nordic scrub.
Some Nordic exfoliator.
Yeah. Twigs. Twigs of some sort, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
But he's not like that.
Their shoelaces are made out of vines and they've got...
Yeah, he strictly links Africa, is Martin Odegaard. New generation of Scandinavian.
Stick pictures of fields up on the inside of their locker door. And they look at the sky when it's grey and frown.
Yeah, right, a bit of poetry, maybe.
A bit of poetry. Yeah. And every now and then they'll take you to one side and tell you all about a relative of theirs that jumped to their death. But no, well, we've got a sort of a flighty, tricksy, skillsy one. Has anyone seen a montage? Have you checked out the montages?
Of course.
I haven't looked at a montage for ages.
Ah, no, I've been watching.
I've been looking at Mesut Ozil montages all week
and weeping. Yeah.
So you've been watching it, Damien.
He looks brilliant at Ozil.
Yeah, well, I'm always slightly suspicious about these things because sometimes they'll show a bit of skill that is admittedly impressive, and they'll cut it just before, and you go, "What went wrong?" Just before the sort of the move come, you know, it's like, was that intercepted or?
How long was the highlights reel? Just out of interest.
The one
28
I've got,
seconds.
14 minutes, 37 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it a highlight reel on some sort of physiotherapist's YouTube channel? And it's all about recoveries.
Yeah, recovery from injury.
This player's recovered from 19 injuries.
That's quite encouraging to me, 14 minutes, because, you know, if you've got more than 5 minutes, there's something going on, right?
Magic Less skills, passes, goals and assists, 2020, Martin Odegaard.
Okay.
This is just 2020, is it?
Yeah, and they mouth watering.
It's very good. It's very good. He scores a goal against Barcelona. Very nice free kick.
Is that the montage where right at the end he goes into the woods and digs up a rotten fish that he buried
and slaps himself with it? You've seen it. Yeah.
My uncle told me about this fish when I was a boy. He said, if the Germans come back, there's a fish. There's a fish in the woods. I buried it in 1970. Martin, you are the last boy left. I live in Madrid. I live in the Drigo, Uncle Fjortoft. I can't be responsible for the family fish in the woods. Where do you live? Madrid. Whose side are they on? They weren't on anyone's side. They weren't on their own problems.
But it's warm.
Franco. Franco's dead. There's plenty of fish in Spain. Leave me alone, Uncle Fjortoft. There is a cheese on the farm. I don't want the cheese, you buried. Peter, what's his best? Assuming that's not an highlight reel. That's it. He does 14-minute highlight reel. 9 of it is him cross-country skiing with a rifle.
Looking for Uncle Fjortoft's
fish. And there's a deer with an iPhone going, the Odegaard are after me. Don't tell them I've already dug up and eaten the fish.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know where I am now.
He scored a goal against
Barcelona. Very nice.
Barcelona.
Free kick. He looks very good. Sort of.
Mohamed Elneny scored a goal against Barcelona. I don't want to.
That's true.
Piss on your chips.
Yeah. No, fair enough. But it's looking good.
If he comes, Ødegaard, will he kill Smith Rowe?
I would imagine that's where he's going to play him.
Or will he kill Willian and Pepe?
Hopefully.
I mean, literally, with his rifle. That's why we're bringing him in.
The smelly fish. Yeah.
A Norwegian marksman to take him out.
Well, let's hope it's Willian then.
He'll get minutes. I mean, they must have promised him. I tell you who's the forgotten man of Arsenal at the moment. It's Danny Ceballos. No one's mentioned Danny Ceballos for ages. Since Partey turned up, holy smoke, how good is Partey?
Really, I mean,
every
really
single
good.
Thing he does is so. But the thing I really like about him, I mean, it's not the thing Excellent. I really like about Excellent. Him, it's just the thing I particularly noticed about him tonight. His positional discipline, he will sprint back. There was a little moment in a Chelsea game against Leicester the other night with Fat Frank. We'll get on to Fat Frank, but Fat Frank's final disaster. When Jamie Redknapp was coating Reece James for not running back and marking Madison. Madison scored. And he said, here he is jogging back. And then he realises Madison's in. And then he starts sprinting. You've got to sprint first to get back and then see where you are and all this. You know, it's a running game and blah, blah, blah. And that Partey has got a few years under Diego Simeone and his positional discipline is what he gets back alongside Granit Xhaka. There's never a feeling that we're going to spring a leak or there's going to be a hole or he's going to be somewhere he should. Rather like we had a few issues, didn't we, when Guendouzi was playing or Ceballos was playing, where they're so busy wanting to get on the ball and go and do stuff, they forget what to do. When you lose a ball and he's so switched on, at both ends of the pitch.
Yeah.
We can press with him in the team. We couldn't press without him in the team. Now we can press. It just means we can play higher up the field. He loves playing with Smith Rowe. Smith Rowe will go because he knows that Partey sat there. It's beautiful. It's exactly what we needed.
Were you a little bit concerned to see both Partey and Smith Rowe limping off, with given that we play Manchester United? Or do you think they'll be all hopefully. Right?
I'm hoping precautionary. Yeah.
Hopefully. Who knows? But
yeah, it looked like cramp, didn't it, for Partey?
Yeah, we'll see. But I hope they're both available because they are excellent for us. It's a bit of a spine, isn't it?
I like it. When Partey decides he doesn't want to play anymore, he just lies down.
That was it for him. 79 minutes.
Yeah.
I've had enough. Yeah. Take me off. This. I'm going to lie here to take me off.
Most of all, he did in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, just as well he didn't pick the I'm going to lie down behind the wall at the free kick ticket because he would have just stayed there. for the whole game. Yeah.
Well, I think that that's what he should have done in the away game against Tottenham instead of walking off.
Yes.
He should have had to lie down
then. He's learned from that. He's learned from that.
If you're hurt, just lie down.
Yeah.
Don't walk off.
I like the fact that Pepe got a yellow card while he was being substituted, then he stayed on. That was quite funny.
He stayed on. He's the first player ever to be booked for not being substituted.
That was the slowest walk off. I mean, Mesut's gone. Someone has to walk off really slowly in our team, and that was up
Mesut
for grabs.
Mesut set many bars at Arsenal. But the highest bar he set is time taken to leave the field when substituted.
Well, he knew he wouldn't get on for a year, wouldn't he? I suppose probably cost me what it was as well.
Never. I think winning the World Cup sort of gives you that, doesn't it? You get a bit of a pass.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
Not sure Kevin Friend would take that into consideration.
Kevin.
I hate Kevin Friend.
Oh,
do you? Really?
Really?
Oh,
I don't hate him.
Why do you hate him?
Oh, he's so
he nearly booked Pepe again because he was slow going off the second time he was substituted.
Yeah.
And that would have been fun. Then he would have been sent off, and that would have been the slowest sending off, and have been booked twice for not going off.
Why do you not like Kevin Friend?
I just hate him.
Is it because of the way he puts his pen in his pocket?
He's just got that sort of smug. Yes.
Smug.
He's a smug. He's a referee.
There's an arrogance.
It's a natural authority that comes with the gig.
Oh, you all want to marry him, do you?
I want to marry Kevin Friend.
There you go. And we've got the title of the podcast.
He's just run 10 miles in a pissing rain, being bollocked in about 8 different languages by a load of overpaid cheats. And now he's driving himself home. Carsten Hootle looked really miffed, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
At the end of the game, Mikel Arteta went over and fist bumped him in the most fleeting way. They caught it on camera on the coverage. And he actually, Carsten Hootle looked pretty miffed.
Yeah. It was like a really deep.
I mean, it was Arteta really just went, piss off. What I've done there is a fist bump to camera, listener.
Yeah, it's very dramatic, listener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, I didn't notice that.
I did.
It's not worth rewinding for.
Okay.
You know when...
I'll take your word for it.
You know when sort of it's a limp handshake, but a limp fist bump.
As a boy, I played Peer Gynt in the Village Hall production. Peer is cast out of the village.
You see...
And I have been cast out of Norway.
You can imagine Hustentaler living in the woods... in the icy wastelands,
I don't think Arsene Hootle has ever been indoors. I don't think he's ever been indoors. I imagine he just stays outside in the garden. Where's Ralph? He's in the garden.
Yes, but it did look either like it was really weak and limp. I don't know how you give a limp fist bump, but it looked like
It felt to me contemptuous. It felt like it was that he'd been angered by two fixtures back to back alongside Harson Hootle and his crew.
First one was his fault, wasn't it? Mikel Arteta.
He chucked the FA Cup away. He got the FA Cup and he just chucked it in the bin.
If we finish fourth or we win the Europa League, I'll forgive him. You know,
I think that's what he did. I think of all the seasons where you really do have a free pass in the FA Cup, we're 10th. That is it. The Europa League, I mean, we are 8th, but people teams below us have got about 9 games in that. There are some good sides in the Europa League. I mean, you know, we'll see how we go on in that, and that will be marvellous to win that. But that the FA Cup's there. Well, we're good at that. Don't chuck it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. But there you go.
I don't think he did it on purpose. Now, what about Manchester United? Interesting similarities. The two managers who really got themselves in the shit before Christmas. We had a running joke on here that Pochettino was always leaving his phone turned on whenever Man United were playing because it seemed inevitable that Solskjaer would be fired. And they've both settled on pretty much the same system. About 4-2 in front. At number 10, they've got Fernandes, who's a wonderful player, and then a pacey forward
pace
line.
Pace out wide.
Quite a lot of youth and invention, although Cavani's a wily bastard, isn't he? I love watching him. He's absolutely magnificent. All his movement, everything. He can see the whole game. like Ibrahimovic, he can just see everything that's happening. He's always just rolling his eyes as the young kids balls it up time and time again. But he's the one in the middle who is perhaps the most frightening as when you think of them as a potential opponent at the weekend. But we've done the same thing. We've set up at the same 4-2-3-1. They both landed on the same system, got it going, doing basically what Wenger and Ferguson did for years.
Yeah.
As if someone's gone, just do this. Just look at this old... Just look at this old showreel of how we used to play. Oh, that worked, didn't it? Yeah. That worked really well.
Let's do that.
Stop dicking about because all the shit you learnt on your coaching course.
Yeah.
Just do what we used to do.
Stop with your gungan pressing.
So I think they're just going to match up. It's going to be really like for like. And do you fancy us?
Well, I forgot our first team out. If Kieran Tierney's playing and Emile Smith-Rowe's playing and Thomas Partey's playing, I think we can beat them. Oh, and also if David Luiz is not playing as well, by the way, because he's a liability. I mean, I know he didn't make his mistake till the 85th minute, but it unsettled us and we gave away a free kick and it was all about him. I mean, I hope Gabriel is over his COVID finally and he comes back in.
And his hair looks...
I do not trust him. I do not trust him to not make some balls up or other. And if he does that against Cavani or Rashford or Greenwood or Martial, we're going to get punished. So... Yes. Yeah, I fancy us with
reservations. Is Pablo Mari available?
If he is, I'd have him.
I don't think he's started training yet.
Well,
or he's shy.
We don't want to put him in against Cavani when he hasn't started training.
I mean, Luiz, when he tries, he is often better in the big game.
Slow. I'm too slow on the ball.
I know.
Too slow. He gets the ball and then he spends half an hour looking up. Just get it and give it.
I know.
That's my head. I don't want him in the team. I don't want him in the team. I really don't.
And his hair looked terrible as well in the wet.
I enjoyed his hair because to me, I found it useful because it's difficult to tell sometimes on the television what the weather's like. But if you see Luiz, you know exactly what the weather's like. I imagine weather forecasters going, oh, there's the weather vane on this game. He looked like a man who'd been on deck on a ferry crossing at night.
Yeah.
Couldn't get back in. They'd shut the door.
Yeah.
I mean, his hair was all over the place. He looked cold and
Mikel Arteta wouldn't work in that way at all, would he? Let's be fair.
No, you can't tell. Water
cannot penetrate Mikel Arteta's hair.
No, Mikel Arteta looks like he's just left the fitting room at House of Fraser.
Always.
Do I look good in this? Yeah. Of course, Mikel.
Of course you do.
There's Steve Round and Albert Stoibergoidy. Yeah. I still don't know how you say Peter Stuyvesant, whatever his name is, the other coach. Stevie's fatty around, he bounces on the ground, and Peter Stuyvesant, and they go with him to House of Fraser, I imagine. And every now and then they'll say to him, you know, Mike Ash has taken over this place and it's going to the dogs. And don't say that to Mikel, he loves it here. Will he be in his usual fitting room? Always the same one. The Oxford Street.
Like Mr. Ben, yeah. No, I do agree with you about the one thing he started
you'd
passing.
You'd pick Gabriel ahead of Luiz against Manchester United. Rob Holding's number one. Rob Holding has risen to the number one centre back at the Arsenal.
Yeah.
When we had seven at the start of the season, he's seen off all comers, got himself a new contract.
Yep.
Brilliant.
And he's top dog, the old big horn, the main man.
Aldi Gold down there. He's built like a brick shithouse. I love him. I genuinely love Rob Holding. Yeah. I'm so glad that he's in our team. Great.
He's good. He seems to have a good rapport with Bernd Leno as well.
Yeah. Positionally good, combative.
I thought Bernd
was
good as well.
Yeah, Bernd's doing well.
Bernd settled down into a good keeper.
I love the way he... you could see him remonstrating with David Luiz in that sort of late...
Luiz said on the commentary he had a brain fade. And then Keown pointed out that El Neni had made a balls up in front of him.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. There's a ricket in there. But also, if you want someone who's going to know what Cavani's up to all the time, it's Luiz.
If you want someone in the fluent in the dark arts of South America, not wishing
Cavani's going to think. I mean, didn't they play together at PSG as well? Cavani's going to think, oh, none of it's going to work.
Yeah.
Nanowitz going to work. Yeah. It's Luiz.
Yeah. Speak.
I'd have Mari or Gabriel if they were fit over Luiz. I really would. But, you know.
It'd be an interesting selection call. Now, you mentioned Kieran Tierney. Cedric was excellent at left back tonight.
Zorro,
really, really good performance playing. Zorro playing on the wrong side and hitting. Making a virtue of it by hitting these magnificent crossfield balls, diagonal, pinging massive diags, all through the second half. And he pinged a diag to Bukayo Saka.
What a pass.
And then Bukayo Saka, what I love about Bukayo, one of the many things I love about Bukayo Saka, is that the next thing that happens is he squares it along the six-yard line for Lacazette on the half volley, a ball that's travelled 50 yards in the rain.
Mm.
As if it's as if he's putting a stamp on an envelope or something. As if it's just the easiest thing you've ever been asked to do with a football. He makes it look effortless.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That's his wrong foot. Can you imagine if that's Mesut Ozil or Santi Cazorla or someone? What I'm saying to you is that his level of skill and talent is the equivalent of Santi Cazorla's. I've no doubt about that. And he just laid that on a plate for Lacazette, first time on the half volley on a wet pitch. Incredible skill. And I like the fact that there's never any flamboyance and never any unnecessary touches. I'm a big James Rodriguez fan. But when he does a Rabona over on a five-yard pass, I do think that actually...
Saka wouldn't do
that. He's missed his calling as a cabaret act, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Really. Saka would suggest he is efficient. And he showed that efficiency, didn't he, when he got onto Lacazette's pass for our second goal.
Oh,
just two touches, it's in the net.
Beautiful. That, I mean, a lot of players would have taken an extra touch there, but he made it look easier than it was.
And really, I mean, that was gifted to him by the goalkeeper running out, going, "Fellaini!"
Didn't put him off.
Lacazette was put off by that. Because let's be honest, he was tempted.
He considered it.
Bukayo,
as a man of God.
I'm not interested. Man of God, possibly a virgin. We don't know.
Possibly.
It would be wrong, frankly, in this forum to speculate.
Yeah. He's got a lovely smile, as Keith always says.
But there was a classic case of the last thing you want to see as a Southampton player in this picture is the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was a surprise when he came running out of there, but he still had a lot to do and he's outstanding. But going back to Cedric, I thought he played really, really well. And I did, when he did that pass, I did think, Tierney can't do that. Tierney cannot do that. And it did make me think maybe he is a right back who can ping 60-yard passes across the pitch as opposed to Hector.
My friend Tom did suggest maybe Bellerin's place as he pushed himself in front of Hector.
Well, a bit of pressure is not a bad thing, is it?
So we could see a back four, because Hector was captain tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ahead of old Big Horn. And ahead of Lacker has also had the armband, and Xhaka has had the armband at different times. I think Luiz has had the armband. But he's, for some reason, it's Hector, whether it's because he's the longest serving, maybe.
Yeah.
I saw a footage in the tunnel of him kind of G up the team, who all absolutely blanked him. I don't feel like he's a natural fist pumping lead. I mean, it's quite funny. They asked, just ignore him. He turns around, he does one of these, and they say, "Why's the fashionista clapping at me?" Piss off. You have got the worst Instagram feed in the history of the internet.
Oh, and
I'm saying that as someone who's never even been on that website. I don't know anything about Hector Bellerin's Instagram feed. But I think his place is under threat. I think you could see Cedric taking his place at right back if Tierney's fit for Manchester United. And then are we looking at old Big Horn and Miriam at centre-back? So suddenly it's a very different back four from tonight, but the back four tonight played really, really well. Danny Ings got substituted. Theo did one magnificent, unlucky Theo. That was superb. I mean, he picked
unlikely
the ball up on
Theo,
the right-hand side, saw two Southampton players on the left, looks up, pinged it into the seats behind the goal in the most, really, just... kicked it out of play.
None more
Theo. Luiz gave it to him.
It's the full Arsenal moment.
Go on, Theo. I know you want to.
Arsenal old and new.
For the old days. Come on, just
some things change, some things stay the same.
If you get the Luis, oh shit, I've had a brain fade. I've given it to. Oh, it's all right.
Oh, it's Theo. Don't worry about it.
No worries.
Shea Adams looking at him was great. Lucky Theo. Nice one.
Yeah, because Mustafi, looks like Mustafi's on his way out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's
while we're
time,
on the.
If they can find their body.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's time.
Thank you and good night.
It's time. It's time that you get in a rowing boat and go out in the lake. That sounds very ominous.
Yeah.
It's time.
Does a bit.
Does that mean something in the Jewish community that I don't know about? It is time.
Yeah. I also noticed that there's a rumour that we might swap Guendouzi for Julian Draxler. Yes.
The name returns. The count.
Yeah.
Julian Draxler has been coming to Arsenal for at least 10 years, as far as I can tell. He's only like 25, but I just feel like that one has been on longer than Kondogbia.
Philip Mexes as well, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's another one.
Still Philip.
Philip Mexes. Maybe we'll get him for Mustafi.
Still could talk about Philip Mexes.
Yeah. Now, listen, I appreciate Mustafi, what he did against Man City in the semi-final last year. And, thank you
he
very much.
He was starting to play well. Mikel got, as one of a three at the back, on the right-hand side of a three, he was pretty good. But he hasn't been trusted in a back four, has he, either as a right-back or a centre-back.
Did we get our £35 million worth? I'm not so sure we did.
Arsenal's... We could do a special on our shit now. Really, honestly, I mean, they try and spin it now. Whoever runs this club of ours now, we sold it to someone who doesn't give a shit about it. He's kicked us all out, the small shareholders, so he doesn't even have to speak to us. He's hired a load of people who are painfully, obviously, incompetent in player recruitment, replaced them with another load of people who are incompetent. Now we've pinned all our hopes on Edu, whose best friend is a super agent. And I really, when you're giving away a player that you've paid £42 million for, and that's presented as a masterstroke, when you're giving away a centre-back you should never have bought in the first place for £18 million, cancelling his contract and giving him away, and that's oh yeah, good work, Arsenal, we've managed to get him off the payroll. Arsenal doing good work, shifting people out the door. It's shamefully embarrassing. We used to... Under the days of Arsene Wenger, the simple principle was you buy at a good price and you sell at a good price, as if you were running a business, maybe. Well, you needed to accrue assets and move them on. If you think back, he made a profit on Thierry Henry, for God's sake. He made a profit on Patrick Vieira.
Yeah.
So many times, never mind the astronomical profits he made on Robin van Persie or Nicolas Anelka or Mark Overmars or Emmanuel Petit or
Alexander Kleb
or Adebayor or Samir Nasri or Alex Song or Gael Clichy. He made profits on all of these people. The only people he didn't make profits on were Sol Campbell, who he got for free, and Jens Lehmann, he paid £1 million for. We used to look at Chelsea and say, look at this club. They don't have to worry about resale value. They can sign Didier Drogba and then they can just, when his contract's finished, they can let him go. They don't have to worry about recouping anything. And now look at us. Look at us just cancelling contracts and giving people away. Having ballsed up the Aaron Ramsey situation, although I had some sympathy with the club there because that happened with Flamini, didn't it? He ran down his deal. Ramsey always wanted to run his deal down. That seemed apparent. He wanted to have one of those mega... Bosman paydays in his career, and he got one. So perhaps he's not a good example, but you think about selling Iwobi, selling Theo, just selling them for profits.
We got
Alexis went for very little, didn't he?
It's been a total shambles.
They've got a lot of people on the books. They've got a lot of people on the books, and they've got to get rid of them. And they're starting to do that, aren't they? Socrates, Mustafi.
Let's hope we've learned from.
Someone did point out, having said all of that, someone did point out the other day on the social media that it was Wenger who was in charge when a hell of a lot of money was spent on Lucas Perez and Mustafi and Granit Xhaka. And we sold Gnabry for £5 million. That was all in within a short space of time. So the wheels were starting to come off.
Right? Yeah.
They all do it. Newcastle spent 40 million on Joe Linton. I mean, you know, come on. We're not the only club to do it.
Not the only club to do it, but it is a mark of a good club if you're not doing it. And it's a mark of a really well-run club. Liverpool, the best example at the moment. When you are making big profits on players, and if a player wants to leave, you sell at a top value. No one would ever sell Coutinho for that money ever again. Or never. No one. They got 50 mil for Raheem. They got 75 for Suarez. They sold these guys for top money and then reinvested in the squad.
Yeah, but they spent, of the Suarez money, they spent £40 million on Lazar Markovic, by the way. So they don't always, I'm just saying, they don't always get it right either. We haven't had a good record.
It's true. And we did sell them the Ox for 40 mil. So they haven't done super well. It's not black and white, but you get the general drift of my point.
Sure.
Yes. Sure. Well, let's just hope that's all in the past. Speaking of the past,
let's hope that.
Yes,
Francis
Benali, looking dapper.
Although my autocorrect has written it as Francis Bengali.
Didn't you think that he looked like an ex-offender being given an opportunity in the community? And if you remember how Benali used to play for he very much is an ex-offender. Yeah. He was absolute filth.
That's the narrative.
He was a dirty, dirty bastard.
Yeah.
And now he's dressed like he's going to court and sort of fidgeting nervously in that cavernous studio as if he's going to be found out in a minute and his probation officer's going to come on and say, "Oi, where's your tag?"
But
even my missus went, "Oh, who's he? He's a new one."
But it wasn't... Am I right in saying it was him that sort of finally spurred Dennis Bergkamp into action when he got his first goals for us? Because he was all over Dennis Bergkamp and Dennis had to sort of throw him off. Do you remember that when Dennis got his first goals?
I'm happy to believe that to be the case.
Thank you, Francis.
We have
he fired the Iceman into life.
Yeah, he melted the heart of the ice. No, his narrative is not going well. It's fallen apart.
gave you a nice passing, and you just absolutely Theo'd it into the clock end.
Unlucky general.
Zed.
Hey,
Jesus.
I apologise.
Now listen, we were talking just now. The reason it was in my head, the last thing you want to see there is the goalkeeper, is because I've had an email from Tom Locke, Dear Tuesday Cub, long-time freeloading scum, first-time caller. He's been listening since the Up for Grabs and Our podcast years ago. With time on my hands and needing something to listen to keep me sane during the lockdown, I've been going back to the first Tuesday Club episode and went through them all. Good work, Tom.
Wow.
It's a clear pattern to each season for you all in Block 32. Equal amounts of despair, hope, anger, resignation and the constant search for a back four. My favourite episode is Return of the Morris Men from the 21st of March 2011. In Return of the Morris Men, Alan, Tayo and Ian discuss Almunia with Morris dancing background music. And I did
you had the things.
I went to a shop in London that sells jingly Morris dancing bells.
You did.
And bought some. And
have you still got them?
And I don't know where they are now. The kids played with them for years. And Alan's impression of Alan Hansen saying, "What you don't want to see in your screens now is the keeper all the way out there."
Was that West Brom away?
Oh, that's the question. That's the question. Tom Locke he sat a question. That was the next line. Was the question was, what match was it? And that is an outstanding. Once again, the Tuesday Club can come up with the goods. Anything over 10 years ago, and we are all over it. We are all over that shit. Ask us anything that happened in the last 10 years. Vague memory of... couple of Spaniards managing the club, not particularly well. I was going to go through all the possible fixtures and Not even going to bother because you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. It was a 2-2 draw.
We were there.
2-2 draw at West Brom. Did you go to that?
You came to that as well.
Did
it was
I?
Me and you. Yeah.
No, I wasn't there.
Yeah, was I? You were. That's the one where he came running out, right? The goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And you were talking
about... I think Koscielny was involved as well.
But it's possible.
I think he passed Koscielny on his way up the pitch.
I think that's right.
Or maybe he ran into Koscielny. I can't remember.
He shouldn't have been there. And you suggested he should have some sort of elastic band attaching him to the goalpost.
Yeah, something rather like a donkey.
Almunia.
Tied
Where
to
are
a
you
post.
Going, Almunia?
Where
get
are you
back
going,
in your goal.
Almunia?
Was that game?
Was that game?
Was that
see,
game?
No, I don't remember that. I thought I'd only been to the Hawthorns once, but obviously it's twice.
Yeah.
Because I looked at it, I looked it up, and we had a run of fixtures in 2011. Oh. I'll go through them for you because it is fascinating in a way if you're an Arsenal supporter only. tune out here for a moment. Rival fans hoping for us to be shit. On the 5th of February, we had a 4-4 draw at Newcastle. I also went to that game. I do remember that.
We
were 4-0 up. Then the following week, we beat Wolves at home. And then we had a midweek home game against Barcelona on the 16th of February, and we beat them.
Oh, that night.
And then we went to Orient. I went with Keith to Orient because we drew Orient in the cup. Oh, we loved that. Down the O's to watch the Arsenal. It's finally happened. We waited all our lives for this. And as we queued up to go in the ground, we'd heard that they'd made the draw for the next round. And we'd drawn Manchester United away. And that completely ruined our afternoon at the Orient. Knowing that we were very likely to get knocked out in the next round. And we drew 1-1 with them. Then we had a midweek game against Stoke, which we won 1-0. And Cesc Fabregas played and got injured, which was a disaster because, if you remember, on the Sunday, we played Birmingham City in the League Cup final.
Oh,
I remember that one very well.
And Cesc couldn't play because they'd paid him in a midweek league game against Stoke instead of resting him for the final. And Cesc couldn't play and he missed the final and we lost the final. That's horrible.
That was awful.
This is, and I do remember my nephew, who was much younger then, obviously, 10 years younger, in fact, standing in the toilets at Wembley, saying, how can we beat Barcelona and lose to Birmingham? And the whole toilet went completely silent as everyone contemplated that. And so this is an Arsenal team that can lose a 4-goal lead, beat Barcelona, lose to Birmingham.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we went on and not late in Orient out of the cup in a replay.
Oh, and that game, by the way, Nicholas Bentner did the ear cupping when he scored a goal at the Orient fans.
What a dickhead.
You were there going, oh, stop it. Just stop it, for goodness sake.
Did he point at his name on the back like that?
Yeah. He probably did.
He may well have done. Then we had a 0-0 with Sunderland and then we lost to Barcelona. And again, I was going to a lot of away games that season. I was at that game as well. And I spent the whole setting off going, it's Ben, because that's when Van Persie got sent off for having a shot.
Ugh.
4 days after that, I had forgotten this, we lost at Old Trafford in the FA Cup. And it was the week after that that we went after Almunia. So,
yeah.
That's very good, Tom Locke. And Tom Locke, it's one of the best emails we've had for a while, because it spurred all of that nostalgia for 10 years ago. He's also got a story. An old school friend worked at Gatwick Airport years ago when Mr. Edward Sheringham came into the...
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say that, no.
He's come up. Not only has he come up with that, he's come up with a Sheringham. He came into the watch shop he was working in, keen to display his wealth to the young lady with him. He loudly asked, what's the most expensive watch you've got in the shop?
Oh, my God.
My mate replied, it's a Swatch watch shop, so about 50 quid.
Oh, what an idiot.
A few giggles could be heard from other customers, clearly annoyed that he was being laughed at. Mr. Sheringham proceeded to inform my friend, I could buy this whole shop several times over, you prick. Teddy.
Oh, wow. Teddy.
Wow. Teddy. You've kicked off in the branch of Swatch. You've got to be careful.
I could buy
you
this whole
to the
shop.
Swatch
here.
Shop
what would
you? Bought fuck all. Hey.
And then, rather brilliantly, he bought two cheap watches and wanted to pay the duty-free price. Ugh. My mate checked his boarding pass to see he was going to Portugal. Natch. and it meant he couldn't have the duty-free price. He begrudgingly paid and left. 2 minutes later, all that could be heard was the security alarm going off from Boots next door. Unbeknown to Edward, my friend had stuck a plastic security tag from Boots onto his boarding pass. This was common practice between my mate and his friends in other shops for customers who were top-tier bellends.
Excellent.
Sadly, he wasn't detained by security and made his flight. Yeah. So that story does end badly. And he says, I shall never email you again. Tom, Newcastle fan in St. Albans. So thank you, Tom.
Outstanding Teddy Sheringham story.
Outstanding,
I mean, really
work.
Beautiful.
Really good. It's not the only one we've had this week, but there are a few. Newcastle playing well, aren't they? Doing well. Good result for them tonight. Do they lose at home to Leeds?
You know, they attacked for the second half. It was quite, actually, it was quite fun to watch them for the first time. Oh, I watched the second half. I wasn't expecting to, but they actually started attacking. How has he not been sacked? Steve Bruce, it's amazing.
Because it would cost them money, maybe.
Yeah.
There is
that. And
he's
trying to buy Debenhams for bugger all. Did you notice West Brom got beaten by, was it 5-0 in the end, or was it more?
By Man City, who went top. Sam Allardyce.
Did you see what Pep did? He called Sam Allardyce a genius. Yeah. They lose 5-0. That's how you play the mind games with him.
That is mind games so well done.
He's a genius. He keeps getting employed.
Yes.
Isn't he? I mean, he's still working. I mean, there's not many managers of his ilk who are still out there, but he's still doing
it. This seems quite a good segue.
Yes.
Well, we're just in the general ballpark of managers, employment, hiring, stacking thereof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw him a bone out, for goodness sake.
What are you driving at?
No, just, you know, wonder if any spring.
I did have an email, actually. I had an email. I know that you're referring to poor old Fat Frank, who's bitten the dust this week, sacked by Roman Abramovich. With the further indignity of Abramovich publicly announcing that he loves Frank and has a lot of respect for him, which he never said about any of the managers who won him loads and loads of trophies, who won him titles, European Cups, FA Cups, Europa Leagues, League Cups, won him everything. Yeah. But he says he reserves it for the man who's taken them to the heady heights of ninth in the Premier League. they're so shit, they're even below Arsenal at the moment.
They are.
Which is very, 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 very funny.
He's never made a statement before, has he? About anyone. It's like Harpo Marx.
I can't find it now, but someone did ask me if I would go through. Here it is. Dave Mitchell on Twitter. Is there any chance that Alan could, for the benefit of those who cannot remember if they heard it correctly, retell the It's Jonathan Creek Lampard and Lampard's mum story?
I haven't heard this.
There may be people who may not understand my antipathy towards Fat Frank. And I do have some sympathy for him because everyone gets fired from Chelsea. And now I do actually think he really, really, really loves Chelsea and really wanted to be the manager. So it's really going to hurt him.
Yeah, maybe laughing but, while you say that.
True. But I used to write crap articles for the Times. Well, some of them were all right, but I ran out of ideas about halfway through the contract. Anyway, I was writing for the Times about football, and I got invited by Martin Samuel, my friend Martin Samuel, who's a brilliant sports writer, though I stopped reading him 10 years ago when he went to the Mail, to go to the Football Writers Association annual dinner, which is a monumental piss up. I mean, people, good meal, really, isn't it? Holy shit.
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Martin's great company. We're on a good table, having a nice time. People from the Times. And Lampard is the winner of the Football Writers Award. And Martin knows him from his West Ham fan, Martin, and he's known him since he was a boy. He knew his dad, all of that. And he comes over, Frank comes over. And all I remember is he had the biggest tie knot you've ever seen. He's Football of the Year. He's just been given a massive contract by Chelsea. He's in the England team. They're going on to the World Cup the following year. And they've just won the league, got 95 points or so. He's on absolute top of the world. He's scored 20-odd goals, you know. But the year before, they'd knocked us out of the European Cup, scoring a goal from a rebound against Jens Lehmann. And the following weekend, he had a similar chance in a match, I think, against Middlesbrough, and he missed it. And I jumped up and down the front of my telly going, "Lampard, you fat cockney twat, you couldn't have done that on Wednesday, could you?" And I wrote about this in my article, the frustrations of a football fan yelling at the television, having suffered a terribly painful defeat to your local rivals, and the kind of futile frustration of yelling at this super skillful multi-millionaire athlete. Didn't even matter that he missed that chance.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came over to me. I shook hands with him. I said, "Well done, you know, Football of the Year." And he goes, "You called me a fat cockney twat." And he's taller than me. He's bigger than you'd think, Lampard. Because, you know, when he's next to Vieira, he doesn't look very big. But Vieira is massive. Yeah, massive, yeah. Right? And he's standing over me. All I could see was his huge tie knot. And he's gripping my hand really, really tightly. He had a couple of friends with him. And I thought, how's this going to play out? Oh, we're totally surrounded by people. Martin Samuel is pissing himself. He's absolutely pissing himself. He said, "You cool?" And then he goes to me, "It's about respect." And Martin's going, "He's only dug him out. He's only come and dug him out." And I was going, "Look, Frank, I was right. It's a joke about myself. I was already thinking he hasn't even read it. Someone's told him. Someone's told him. I said he hasn't even known." And then coming up behind Frank is his lovely mum, his smiley, happy, easygoing, friendly mum. And she's going, "Oh, it's Jonathan Creek. It's Jonathan Creek." Frank's going, "It's about respect." Well, it's crushing my hand. "It's about respect." And Samuel's going, "He's only dug him out. He's only come and dug him out. Oh, it's Jonathan Creek. Oh, it's Jonathan Creek. It's about respect." I said to him, "I did also write that I had tipped you to be the next England captain. It's about respect." "Oh, well, you know." Anyway, eventually, the upshot of the whole situation was 15 years on, I'm still talking about it, And I don't have any respect for him at all.
I always wondered.
People are sending me tweets going, "I'll tell that story again."
I never heard that story. And I always wondered, why has Alan got such an antipathy to Frank Lampard?
He really hurt.
I get that.
I think he just got the wrong end of the stick. He didn't understand. He was very aggressive. He was frightened. I thought he was going to kick my head in.
You did call him a fat cockney twat, though.
I did. But in the context of leaping up and down in front of the television,
I get it.
In a futile fashion, whilst all alone in my living room. I've said many worse things, you know, about close friends.
You don't put them in Times columns, though, do you? In general, to be read, you know, in public.
But the kind of the postscript about the story was, after he dug me out and really got a go at me, and I was, "Oh, no, what have I done?" I thought I'm going to write another article in which I talk about it, but I didn't have a copy of the original article, so I did a Google search with my name and Frank Lampard's name and twat.
That go well?
Don't ever search your name with a term of abuse next to it. Because after I'd been through all the twat references, I'd started putting in, I put my name in with the C word and nearly broke the internet.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's quite a dark half hour. And you realise, holy shit, people really do hate you if you go large on your love of your football team. No regrets, my friends.
You're just glad that he's sacked.
We've had quite a, actually, I'm not, I don't know, I felt odd about it. I didn't feel glad about it. It just felt inevitable.
That he spent 200 million quid and they're ninth. What are you going to do?
Spent a fortune and couldn't get them playing
he's
at all.
He's not known for his patience, is he, Roman?
The thing about him, he really showed himself up, I thought, Lampard, was at Anfield. What? When he got into a thing with the Liverpool bench.
One league title to Jurgen Klopp, was I mean.
Bollocking Jurgen Klopp and his coaches, and Klopp always has his way of looking at the opposition manager as if they've just escaped from an asylum. Yeah. Oh, here's another crazy one. You are you shouting at me? You're crazy.
I mean, you don't know because you know losing the dressing room, but I mean, if he had, and other people would know that because there's talk that Peter Cech was had to sort of find his Tuchel, didn't he? He had to sort of come up with a possible replacement. So someone would have known how the dressing room was reacting to him. And that thing, you know, when we were talking about when Arteta sort of called out Pepe about getting sent off.
Mm.
Fat Frank did rather blame the players, didn't he? He did sort of leave them out to dry quite a lot.
Yeah, he frequently. Yeah.
Not good enough.
He's got a lot of talent, a hell of a lot of talent in that squad. And it feels like they've done a massive pick and mix raid where we've got the money, we'll have Ziyech and we'll have Havertz and we'll have Werner and we've got Hudson-Odoi and Mount and Pulisic. And I don't know what to do with any of them or how to deploy them, and the only one who consistently delivers is Giroud. Email from a fellow called Rebus, who's
Scottish detective.
He's a Scottish detective.
He's a Scottish detective. He's a fictional character, but he sent me an email. He says there's been a murder and can I get off the internet? People need to solve it. He says, hi chaps, quite a few years ago, and I love this sentence, this is one of my favourite sentences, I was playing bass in a function band and we were booked to play a 50th birthday party somewhere near Rickmansworth, I think.
Great start.
The glamour of we all know
this is
working in the entertainment industry in one form or another. We know what it feels like to be booked to play somewhere near Rickmansworth, I think.
I would take that gig now, though, I'll tell you that. Yeah. I would take that gig tomorrow.
You would take a residency there.
Yes.
A la Copperfield in Vegas. My unforgettable memory of the night was Bob Wilson dancing his socks off to Wild Thing by the Trogs. Our drummer ended the night by throwing his sticks into the crowd. Bob failed to catch either. It was a great night, and Bob was a very nice guy.
Yeah, of course
he was. I had one from Phil Macker that says the subject line is Teddy Sheringham is a wanker.
No story.
I'll cut it down a little bit. He says he's an Arsenal fan. His old family supports Spurs, and he was in Suffolk with his father, and they went to see Colchester United playing at home, and his dad wanted to see Teddy playing for Colchester, and one of the supporters piped up behind them. They all effing hate him. This Colchester fan said, the entire Colchester team hate him. They're all on a grand a week and the club are paying the old wanker 10 grand a week.
Yeah, yeah. So, he can afford a shop full of swatches.
Yeah. There you go. He was hated by the Colchester team. John Foster's emailed, as a home and away gooner of over 35 years, I've met quite a few players in my time, from the greatness of Tony Adams all the way to Alex Song. The startled Theo Walcott at his own book signing, he seemed shocked that anyone had turned up, to the crapness of Bentner, who has the softest hand I've ever shaken. However, One time, one of his friends was the match ball sponsor for a club, a game between Arsenal and Roma at Highbury. So they're in the marble halls, the Roma team arrive, Capello, Totti, looking tanned and confident. The Arsenal team come in. Arsene was a delight, having a good chat. Bobby Pires was softly spoken, but thanked me for congratulating him on winning Player of the Month. I love the detail. Freddie was chatty. Keown was terrifying. Seaman had a head the size of three watermelons and kept on chuckling to himself. Pascal Segan seemed genuinely more delighted to have his photo with me than I was with him. Everyone was lovely except Franny Jeffers, who was chewing gum and looked like he believed his own hype. We then had a private tour of Highbury, bumping into Bob Wilson, who was shockingly rude and obnoxious. Brackets, only joking. He was so friendly and could have talked to us for hours. We walked round the pitch. We had dinner in the West Stand. We retired to the mezzanine in the clock end. Oh, I remember it well. Patrick Vieira smelt strongly of a heady mix of Vicks and Imperial leather. Gilberto was quiet but kind. Sylvain Wiltord was doing a passable impression of a Tasmanian devil, much to his and only his delight. However, the most crushing of twists lay on the horizon.
Dun, dun, dun.
The following Sunday, Nick, there's a mate who sponsored the match ball, was playing in goal and he hit his head on a goalpost, knocked himself out, kept making a joke in the hospital about the urine receptacle being a nice flute of wine every 30 seconds. Anyway, it turned out he couldn't remember anything about meeting the players or the incredible evening we had had. I told him all about it. He thought I was lying.
When I
insisted I wasn't, he burst into tears, which was, of course, hilarious. Thankfully, a few days later, the memories came back. What I find interesting is the players who tend to become legends of the game are generally the nicest people you could meet. The exception to this rule is when we met, I love the word, I love met, Cristiano Ronaldo in a Cardiff nightclub after the 2005 Cup Final and made him storm out with his lip quivering.
What was Cristiano Ronaldo doing in a Cardiff nightclub? I mean, why would you do that?
We were in a Cardiff nightclub, weren't we?
I know, but yes, but I get that.
I don't remember seeing him there. Excellent story.
Yeah, OK, I'm going to read you one more and then we'll do spot the commentary and then we better go to bed. This is from Stuart Shepherd. Hello, I've already sent my story before, but you never used it, so I thought I would be persistent and send it again. I'm coming across as a bit desperate, I know, but I have no shame. I don't want to annoy you, but so this will be my last email on the matter. Love the podcast, Stuart. My Teddy Sheringham story. A number of years ago, I was driving a smart car around Wanstead. I turned into a small, tight road that really only allowed one car down at a time. I started to head down the road, and another car started to come up the other end. As per road etiquette, one of the cars normally nips into the first space where no cars are parked. There were no car parking spaces available. One of us would have to reverse back up the road. Now, as far as I was concerned, I had driven up two-thirds of the road and it was the other guy's responsibility to reverse back up and let me pass. You see where the story's going?
Yeah.
The car was a stunning red sports car and the passenger seat held an amazing-looking blonde woman. I noticed the driver and it was Teddy Sheringham.
Oh.
He flashed his lights at me. I flashed at him. I swore to myself, and as the pathetic beta male that I am, I put the car in reverse and started to head back up the road. We made eye contact. I shook my head at him, clearly indicating I thought he was in the wrong. At this point, he noticed my Arsenal crest hanging from my mirror, gave me a wank sign.
I almost admire that, to be honest with you.
I knew you. He then said something to the passenger about my tiny smart car and left me feeling emasculated and pathetic. Yeah. This happened a few decades ago now, and I still get angry when I think about this incident and the stupid look on his face. To be honest, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to get over it. And I still hope that one day I will get even with Teddy Sheringham. Thank you. Up the Arsenal and up the O's.
Oh.
Stuart. There we are. I might use Stuart's story there to draw a line under the Teddy Sheringham correspondence.
Well, if something positive came in, perhaps, but all the negativity.
Turn a corner. Yeah. Because they really are just endless. I like the one in the swatch shop at Gatwick Airport. I enjoyed that. The time has come to play Spot the Commentary. You up for a bit of Spot the Commentary?
Yes, of course.
Here we go.
I feel like I might have peaked with West Brom earlier, to be honest with you.
That was an outstanding memory. But I think you might. This could be for you.
Okay.
Let's try this first one.
On the periphery of the game so far, which is unlike him. Henri for Bergkamp. They put it together right here. It's Freddie Ljungberg. It's Robert Pires. It's 1-0 Arsenal.
Henri, Bergkamp, Ljungberg, Pires. There's a number of goals, aren't there, really?
I think it might be Aston Villa, but it doesn't go with the theme. Because you like a theme.
No.
So I would suggest it's against Southampton.
Good.
Is that the 7-0?
Good detective work. No, this is a very famous event.
That was the FA Cup final that we can remember nothing about.
Yes.
Ian Dark referred to it in on the game on Sunday.
On Saturday. Or whatever it was, yes.
And I was just thinking, I don't even remember what the goal was. It was a bit spotty, wasn't it?
Well, it was a nice move. Well, you heard. A nice move leading up to it, and then it just broke to Pires and he controlled it and steered it in the corner.
Yes.
And, there you go.
Nice one, Damien.
Thank you.
Okay, Damien, you're 1-0 up. All right, try this one.
Taylor takes another ball impressively. He's done well whenever he's been called upon tonight. Oh, a mistake by Telford has left Pires in for the cheekiest goal of the night. Supreme skill to complete his hat-trick. What a fabulous, fabulous finish by Pires.
I remember that the pass wasn't that good and the defender sort of messed it up and just laid it on a plate for Pires and he just chipped it. And then he did the little finger wagging, like I think he did that finger wagging celebration, possibly.
He got a hat-trick. We were 5-1 up at half-time. He won 6-1 in the end. Jermaine Pennant got a hat-trick and Robert Pires got a hat-trick. It was a ball from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst that was cut out by the Southampton fullback, but he couldn't control it. And Pires just looped it over the keeper. This came after we'd blown the title a few days before.
I was going to say, it was like the we had the 7-0 against Everton recently, didn't we? And that was a post blowing it, but we play amazing football.
Yeah, I remember Henri in particular was absolutely furious about blowing that league, and he took Southampton apart. And that game actually impacted on the cup final because Southampton, having had that defeat a week before, really didn't come out in the cup final, and it was a pretty boring final.
It was a dull game,
but we won it. So who cares? Okay, this is the last one. This is quite a memorable game for other reasons.
Winterberg, still no sign of the final whistle, and we're deep into injury time. Winterburn's free kick, Smith. And Arsenal have salvaged a point.
1989.
Yes.
And we salvaged a point right at the end of the season.
Right. This was a game against
Southampton.
Yes, Damien, 2-1 with a winner.
Was it away?
No, at Highbury.
At Highbury. And it felt really awful because we had just drawn.
This is one of many moments in the 88-89 season where you could say it without that moment.
yeah,
we don't win the league.
Yeah.
And the game was against Southampton, who had a young Matthew Letissier just emerging, and Rod Wallace and one or two others. Jimmy Case, who was an appalling human being, as you know. And they were two up at half-time, Saints. But the game was memorable not for any of those things. It was memorable for a left hook thrown by Paul Davis that shattered the jaw of Glenn Cockerell, caused him to get a 9-game ban and miss out on probably getting an England cap because he was just breaking into international recognition alongside some of his teammates like Rocastle, Thomas, Marwood, Winterburn, Bold. All of them got caps, didn't they? He never did. And we ended up coming back to draw 2-2 in that match with a late equaliser from Alan Smith heading in a Winterburn free kick.
Yes. Sort of end of March, early April, around that time, maybe?
I couldn't tell you the actual
dates. I remember one of your first comedy gigs.
Do you really?
Yeah, I was at all your early ones, and I was. You did jokes. You did a joke about Glenn Cockerell. Joke about Glenn Cockerell. Seeing as the rest of the audience were all sort of right on drama students, so I was the only one that laughed.
Yeah.
At your Glenn Cockerell joke.
I'm following him around. I am. I'm going to go to all his gigs.
Should have started.
If there's any obscure Arsenal references.
Should have started a podcast then.
Yeah.
There's no internet.
Yeah.
No.
All right, let's knock this on the head. I'll finish off with a spot the lineup. Guess the lineup. Can you tell me the Arsenal team from the 2003 Cup final? The 2003 Cup final team.
Was it Seaman's last game?
Seaman's last game. He was in goal.
Yeah.
And captain.
Yeah. Lee Dixon.
No.
Did he come on?
No.
He was not involved in any way.
have to hurry you now, lads. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Vieira, Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry.
No Vieira.
Gilberto Silva.
Gilberto Silva, Bergkamp, Henry, Pires.
Campbell.
No Campbell.
Martin Keogh.
Campbell was banned because he elbowed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer by accident at Highbury and nearly killed him. He swung an arm out and nearly killed him.
Kolo Touré, did he play?
No.
He didn't play.
Kolo was on the bench, and Kolo, if you remember, had never played centre-back. And then he just started him at centre-back at the beginning of the Invincible season, and we were, what is this? Kolo would come on and play left wing. He was on the bench. He didn't come on in that game. The full team was Seaman in goal, Lauren at right back, Martin Keown, booked on 30 minutes. Alongside Keown, in place of the suspended Sol Campbell, Oleg Luzhny.
At centre
off. Oleg Luzhny, the crazy horse.
Yes.
Left back.
Not Nigel.
Ashley Cole.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Ashley Cole. Then Pires, Ray Parlour, Gilberto Silva, Freddie Ljungberg, Dennis Bergkamp and Thierry Henry. Will Tord came off the bench. For Bergkamp, unused substitutes were Kanu, Van Bronckhorst, Touré and Stuart Taylor. Man of the match, Thierry Henry. No real noticeable or memorable names in the Southampton team at all, apart from maybe Wayne Bridge. He's just well known because he married someone really fit.
As they often do.
Someone of the perks.
Yeah.
I know, it's not to say that he's not fit himself. I'm a poor judge.
Yeah.
Gents, it's too late at night and the puppy is kicking off in a cage. So I'm going to have to
go and walk the puppy.
Say au revoir. Thank you very much. Ta-da.
See you.
Good night. Cheers.